Hey, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project. I'm Rachel Martin.
I'm Luke Burbank. Rachel, I'm just going to read this next intro verbatim because it's so brilliant. We all lead busy lives, and in a busy day, a lot of news can fall through the cracks. But here at the BPP, we actually put a specially designed trough beneath those cracks to catch the news that almost got away. We collect these fragile news crumbs like so many flakes of dead skin cells fallen from Edward R. Murrow's brow. We reconstitute the crumbs, and we call it the Ramble. Best
that
intro
was awesome.
Ever.
I love that. Well done, whoever crafted
that's
that.
That's probably Trish.
Journalistic prose.
No. Who was it?
Okay, so I'm going to...
I can't hear you, but I'm just going to trust it. Wasn't you. Dan Ashman. Gosh,
good job, Dan.
Gosh almighty.
Okay, we're going to start off with a story that strikes close to home for some particular reason we'll tell you about later. But if your coworkers are making you sick, you are not alone. According to one study, 80% of people go to work when they're sick. And of course, in close quarters of an office, you know, cubicles and whatnot, we share everything from paper to hot pockets. One sick person becomes 10 sick people pretty quickly. And one office manager who was interviewed for this article on CNN.com says the problem is actually with office culture. There's too much pressure on us to show up even when we're sick. Americans like to work. We're like this Puritan work ethic. We can't take a day off. And it would be really great if we had someone here who could talk about that decision. I wish we had.
Yeah.
Wait, we do.
Hi, Rachel.
Oh.
Oh, I forgot. Trish is on her deathbed there in Master Control.
I'm sorry. No, her name's been legally changed to Sickie McSickerson.
That's right. Or Trisha McSickie, your editor.
Okay, McSickie.
I don't have a lot to add except that I am one of the 80%. I've been sick for the last few days.
You sound so bad.
I know. I'm fully in Brenda Vaccaro mode right now. But
you sound like Katharine Hepburn on Golden Pond.
Yeah.
The loons. Norman.
Norman. The loons. Anyway, I don't really have much to add to this story except as a, you know, a good sound. But my question is, you know, I have no idea how long this thing is going to last. So how many days should I take off? You know, should I have taken the first day off, the second day off? Should I be?
If I were you, I would just, yeah, you're sick. You go home and you stay home until you're better. You have a much better work ethic than I do, I think.
I hereby apologize to all of my colleagues who will be getting this next. I don't know what else to do.
Just before I go on vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Trisha.
Jacob is going to get Ebola from standing next to you for the next 2 hours. All right, so imagine you're working as a cashier at a grocery store and there's a Catholic church down the street, and one day a guy dressed in black and wearing a cross comes in. He puts his grocery downs on the scanner and he says, "Hey, charge it to St. Rocco's." You would probably oblige, right? You figure he's good for it and all, what with the priest thing.
Mm-hmm.
What if the guy started to bring up some more interesting items to the register in future visits, like Red Bull and Siggy's?
Maybe he was using them as props in a rehab course.
Well, it's possible. But it's not likely. What it turned out was it was actually a scam. Police in West Pittston, Pennsylvania, they arrested 28-year-old Brian Rush, charged him with attempted theft and five other recent thefts totaling $1,800. He did actually, Brian Rush, attend seminary in 2006, but he quit after a month.
Yeah, go figure. Yeah. And as Trisha wanted us to point out, the good Catholic among us, he's probably going to hell. Is that bad to say? I don't want to send you there, but I think you might.
He could confess it and not go to hell.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You should be the religion correspondent, Rachel. For
I forgot. I didn't. I miss Catholicism. Okay, here's some news you can use. Maybe. I don't know. If you're driving a motorcycle, don't drag a 5-foot-long dead rattlesnake behind you. Is that the lesson of this story? But if you absolutely must, then at the very least, when the twine you're using to attach the rattler snake to your bike comes loose while you're going around a bend, don't let it distract you. If you fail to heed my warning, you're likely to end up like a New Orleans motorcyclist who was badly injured Wednesday when he broke all the rules I've just laid out to you. This is a very odd story. This guy basically got distracted because his dead snake was moving around on the back of his bike. I don't know what to say about it.
This
it's
is
weird.
Overused a lot to describe these kind of things, but it seems at this point like natural selection is taking its kind of, you know, role in this guy's life.
There's nothing else to say about this. It doesn't inform our lives. It's just weird.
Oh, yeah, by the way, a big thanks to Noah Adams who sent us that
story. Shout out to Noah.
We love us some Noah Adams. Mm-hmm. All right, so if you're taking any kind of nutritional supplement, you should probably check the label a couple of times. A study by a British company says that 1/4 of dietary supplements purchased in a sampling contain trace amounts of steroids. That is an increase from an International Olympic Committee study 5 years ago that found that 18.8% of supplements in the U.S. contained steroids. They say also that 11.5% of supplements contain banned stimulants.
Yeah, it's scary. The whole thing's scary. You never know what you're putting in your mouth.
That's why when I'm in the mall and I see the general nutrition store, the vitamin place, I just go right past to the Cinnabon.
I was just
don't want to take any chances.
Because you know what's in those Cinnabons. Yeah.
Horse semen.
That's the ramble, folks.